And here we are. Balcony Banter. And here we are, hustling and bustling. Welcome, everyone. So today, Balcony Banter, we got a great topic for you. It's a hustle culture. And yes, you have been already here hustling and bustling in the chat. And I'm just going to go quickly around and say hello to everyone. It's Craig was the first one. And here we have Tim, of course, and Christine. And we have, it's Craig again, Alan Fraser. And we have Roger Channing, Tina Rigby, Ian at home and on the screen, Julie Wade, Diane O, and Derek Walker. So 16 so far. So welcome, everyone. And thanks for making it over. It's a Wednesday Balcony Venture every second Wednesday on my channel. And you can also click the subscribe button if you want. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And you can also ring the little bell for notification. So you will get notified.
You're doing great. Every 2 weeks. You're doing great.
Every 2 weeks. Exactly. So welcome. And welcome and cheers, Christine and Tim. How are you? You're here.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. We're doing quite well. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Things are going good for us. And I think we're okay at the moment.
Good. You're looking good. Very chill.
We're not hustling at all.
Not hustling and bustling.
No, we're not hustling.
No.
I still don't understand the hustling.
I'll explain all the different meanings of hustle when I get to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, please. No, but you look very chilled and very at ease, which is good.
But
Ian, how about
wait till
you?
The end,
how
because we might dance the hustle.
Oh,
and then the
hustle. I'm not going to do any more until the end.
There you are.
To the hustle.
Something to look forward to there.
Ian, how are you?
Not too bad, but yeah, not too bad. Surviving under the cold here.
Oh, but
hi, Sarah, and thanks
there.
For all the gifts. I've got a gift for you from Sarah as well.
Ooh, hi, Sarah. Oh, welcome in the chat here. And I can see Anne-Marie also popped up and Magic McWade. I've never seen that name before, so welcome.
Yeah, he's on all the time.
Okay, Eugene McGeever and many, many more are coming in. So David Butler, Marie Alti, and so on and so forth. So good. Welcome and welcome to our topic tonight, hustle culture. Ian was very eager to discuss that topic. And I think it goes really well with the topic that we had the last time when the Craig Master was on. I think we were speaking about addiction and stress. So if you haven't watched that video, you can go back and watch Balcony Banter Addiction, our last episode 2 weeks ago. And I think it goes perfectly hand in hand with the stress factor we were talking about. So hustling. What do you guys feel is hustling? Hustle culture. What is that for you? I mean, we will check out all the different meanings and what it actually means in our day-to-day life. Maybe, we feel it at our workplace. We feel it. We were just early on before we came up live, we were talking about it, even feeling it in day-to-day activities such as going to the supermarket. Maybe that influences and has an impact on every situation in life. So Ian, would you like to start and give your little idea about hustle culture?
Yeah, sure. the question, what is hustle culture? Why are we talking about it? Well, last year, the term hustle culture, it was used by some of our guys in the chat, and it was put on my to-do list. So what do you mean by hustle culture? Glorified working hard. Overworking for the professional success of yourself. Right. Let's give you a wee bit background into this form. This was reports that I picked up from various places, universities, and what have it. And I've actually put this together. Hustle culture fundamentally is about work dominating your time in such an unnatural way that we have no time to live our own lives. It's a lifestyle where career has become in your life and your environment that you work in and other aspects of being human. It's things such as your hobbies, your family time, and your self-care all take a backseat to this. So basically, hustle culture is a culture of hard work. It pushes yourself beyond your limits. In other words, outside your comfort zone. It's to achieve capitalist goals, such as your wealth, your prosperity, and your success as quickly as possible. This is happening to more young people in today's environment. So, let's see what you guys come up with. And,
yes, we have already had. We already had a good comment here by Marialti. Just another word for burnout and stress, and he can play with your mental health. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's it's also something you mentioned, Ian.
You said the word there actually, Marie, burnout and stress.
Yeah.
What were we doing last? The last show that we did was addiction. You become a workaholic. You forget about everything else that's happening round about you. Now, I know many people love to work and get out there and do their bit. But the bit you do more and you do more. At the end of the day, the word is burnout. You give up. You do yourself injury.
Yeah.
And as Marie says there, it starts with your mental health and it snowballs. Yeah. So how do you, I'll ask you, how do you draw the line? How do you get out of it?
And I mean, is it something that has been, is it just happening now or has it been there forever? It's just now that it comes more maybe to the surface. And it's more obvious because obviously we have more more internet to spread those news. So we become more aware of it actually. But is it just a phenomena that is happening now over the last years, or has it always been there? And how do you feel about that?
No, I think it's always been there, and it was maybe more conceived as pressure from your superiors to do things within a specific timelines it was laid down. But I think with people working from home during the pandemic, that sort of thing, it sort of eased off. You didn't hear so much about it. Now people are going back. Many people are going back to their workplace. And I find, or I hear, they're expected to do more. Their boundaries that they're being set is much higher now. They have to achieve that wee bit more in their workplace.
Okay.
It's becoming more and more to the front now that people are seeing this. I think the young people are taking on. It's not just a case of work. They do work, and then the next thing they're on their iPhones, they're on their iPads, but they're always working. Your brain is always working. You don't have any, you have no relaxed time.
So Tim is on his iPhone now. What do you say about it, Tim?
Well, I'm hustling because I forgot to put the link in my website so that people can come in and join in.
Yes.
So I'll be right back.
I would like to put this comment again by Magic McWade. My boss said, stress is a normal feeling nowadays. Doctors use it when they don't know what's wrong with you. I have a great boss. Okay.
Good.
All right. I mean, stress, yes. Our society is full of that. And obviously it's something very collective, and at the same time it's also, the solution is very individual, the yes. solution for it. So yes. I mean, for instance, take the example traffic. Traffic can be very hustling and bustling, and we can get so stressed out about too much traffic, too many drivers that drive wrongly, supposedly, and we are the only ones who can drive and know how to drive, and that one is driving too slowly, or that one is driving too fast, or whatever. There's always something. It's the question, how can we maybe amongst all this stress and hustle and bustle find our own center, our own inner peace. And that is a big question to ask. How can you get in that moment of overwhelming feeling? How can you calm yourself down? And is it really so necessary to go with that hustle flow, or to buy into that hustle culture? Do I need to follow that road, or can I just maybe step back and for my own self say, stop, I need a break. Yeah. Because if we take that word hustle, it's being busy. So busyness, and it seems a sin to not be busy.
Right.
But but at the same time, it's exactly that stopping that would increase maybe more productivity.
Yeah.
What to gather thoughts again, to calm yourself down and not to buy into this stress.
It becomes difficult. Where do you draw the line? I mean, you said productivity there. It's okay, burnout culture. It's the productivity you're doing is actually, it's become toxic.
Mm-hmm.
This constant work. It's a change in your personal lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Anne Marie Elton says a lot of people get caught up in their busy lives and work and find it difficult to relax. It is so important to have downtime and to chill and to unwind. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. You find the thing now. People in large, working in large organizations. As Anne says, you get the downtime. Even the downtime is even a break at your lunch. I mean, many people have their lunch sitting at their desk, mm-hmm. so there's no break time. It's yeah. likewise at the end of the day, your day may be finished, mm-hmm. but you're still working there. Many people take their work home and do it home, so they have no downtime at all. So how do we get through to them the damage that they're doing to themselves?
Okay, health? Ian, let me ask you this. How do you create your downtime?
How do I create my downtime? I just down tools and stop and go away. Now,
okay.
You may think that's funny, but I've always done that. It was part of my working culture. Even on big sites, you become a workaholic at certain times, but you have to create a bit of downtime. I just down tools and went away and put the kettle on and sat in the bucky and had my cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And just forgot about work, even though it was only for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And that was on site.
That was on site. Okay.
Okay.
At home, when I'm in the house, that's a difficult one. I just go away and pick up a newspaper or pick up a book.
Uh-huh.
Normally I would pick up a book and open up a book. I was maybe reading and read two, three pages of that and take that in. Then close the book and just go back to what they're doing. If it was something that I was really, really involved in, I would probably take a bit longer of the downtime, the me time, as I call it. If I was outside working, I would go away and sit in the shed.
Yeah.
And do the same thing. I would pick up a book off the shelf in the shed and sit and read that for a wee while until I got my coffee brought out to us.
But you said something very, very good there, something important. You've always been doing that. So that's something that's, it's a habit, basically. It's something very in your personal culture, in your personal being. You are made up of this is how you do things.
It's okay. It comes second nature to me. But don't get me wrong. I had many times in my working life when the hustle culture would apply. You have to be able to take a break. Now, unfortunately, I would say for many people working in a large office environment, it becomes difficult. The more and more that they work, it becomes more difficult for them to take the break, even to take the thought of taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
So something has to be done in these big places to try and make the working environment a wee bit more pleasant. Mm-hmm. Get the pot plants out. Get big, nice pictures and that up. Something just to break the sequence.
I don't recognize this culture.
Go on.
I don't recognize this culture because I've lived in England, right? And in England, I did a few jobs. I was mostly manual work or sales related. So if you're sales related, then your hustle culture is a necessity because you're chasing figures, right? And in manual work, like stacking shelves in a supermarket, you got a certain amount of time to get a job done. And but this was years and years ago. I can imagine now that if you're an office worker now, and you have a manager, then I can imagine that it's different now. When I was working in Germany, it was basically we'd start work at 7:30 in the morning. You finish around about 4, and you were paid hourly, and you were paid hourly up to a very high level. So you didn't get salaried until you were außertariflich, which means you were negotiating your own contract. So the hustle culture in that respect was you set your own goals and you achieve your goals, you overachieve your goals. So there was no manager there giving you unreachable goals and putting stress on you. And at 9:30 in the morning, we'd all stop work and go for breakfast. You'd still talk about work at breakfast, but, you know, it was a break. And then lunchtime was 11:30. So they'd do the same again. They'd stop for an hour or an hour and a half at lunchtime. And then in the afternoon, it was always somebody's birthday. So at 4 o'clock, they'd break out the beer and they'd have a break chatting around that. So that culture was in the, let's say, 80s, 90s.
Yeah, it changed a little.
And I think that then I left to go to America. Now, in America, it was totally different. In America, people were proud to be working 60, 70 hours a week. And they felt that if they weren't working 60, 70 hours a week, they weren't managerial or executive material. And I used to annoy them by saying, well, if you're working 80 hours a week, it's either a job for two people or you're the wrong guy. You know?
Yeah.
So the hustle culture is basically you accepting somebody else's, what's the word? Limits on what you can do. Now, if you set your own limits, like Ian has always done, it sounds like, then you're not affected by this. But if you're affected by it, then it's because the culture has changed that you are scared to lose your livelihood or change your job because you're dead. You know, most people are living now. They couldn't do without next month's salary. You know what I mean? And it used to be that you could live a couple of months or, you know, 6 months to look for another job. But nowadays, most people, and I would say 80% of people, can't live without 2 months' salary, you know? And this is your problem. So it's the taking advantage of the precarious situation you're in, which is a political decision, obviously. In any whichever country you're in, and also a cultural byproduct of pride in what you do.
Yeah.
You know, so the hustle culture for me is you've got to the stage where you can't change your job. You can't just give up work and say, I'm going to look for something else. And therefore, you're at the beck and call of the person making the demands on you. And it's basically slavery. It's called wage slavery. And they let you run away for 4 weeks a year, you know, which is called holidays.
Yeah. Tim, you're making which country you're in. Good comments there. And, talking about your own life experience, working in, obviously, in different countries such as Germany and the US. And I feel there is a shift mindset shift from a culture which is very much thinking from I have to have so then I can do and then I can be, and there is a shift going on now, and those three words have, do, be become more be, do, have.
Yeah. Like just going back to the German, after we came back from America to the Germany, they put in rules and regulations to say you're not allowed to email people outside working hours. So you couldn't you couldn't give a subordinate a job outside of working hours. Or, and also we were told, don't answer or turn off your email when you leave work, you know? And so I think there was a lot of pressure with the workers' union. I mean, in Germany, you've got workers' unions in your company. They're part of the company, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like an external union. It's like the what do they call it? Betriebsrat. Mm-hmm. It's the Betriebsrat, which is basically a council of workers. It's a workers' council basically, and they negotiate fair and honest working conditions, which I don't think exists in a lot of countries. I think Britain and US have thrown that out the window, and then unscrupulous managers are taking advantage of that. And also the people who are worried they're not going to live to the next paycheck are the slave to that. So there's a lot of factors coming into this. And what they don't understand is that the more ill you make your workforce, the less productive you are. So they're shooting themselves in their own foot, you know. So what you really need is to stand back and take a deep breath and say, what type of country do I want to live in? And what type of services do I need to support people? And then pay for those services. And
maybe also what kind of sacrifices am I personally able to make?
Because no, able's the wrong word. Able is the wrong word. If you're using the word sacrifice, the only word you can use in that respect is willing.
Exactly. Able and willing. Those are two important questions to ask. Am I able? That's true. Yeah, sure. I am able. But am I also willing? Because there's wishing and wishful thinking. And yes, I mean, we all want better. But are we prepared to make certain changes? And I'm coming back to the concept I was talking about earlier, about the have, do, be. So I have to, that is a form of thinking. I have to have such and such to be able to do such and such, and then I can be such and such. That is a form of thinking that is gradually shifting, and I think it is happening very strongly in our society right now, especially amongst younger generations.
Instead of such and such, do you have a concrete example
going on? And it's happening that that people are being more to be able to do more. And to do maybe more and better, and to have more in the end, which is oftentimes it's taking a step back, yes, and say no, I'm stepping out of this hustle and bustle, and I need right now to take care of myself to be able to be more productive.
My father actually, when it was the 70s, 1976, he was in a high-powered job in Manchester in the rag trade, and he was offered directorship of this company or on the board of directors of this company, but his job really was weird, and there was a lot of stress in his job. It was to do with the first credit cards coming out and money lending and stuff. And some of his jobs were really nasty. He was the guy that went and closed down warehouses and stuff. And he really got, and he was being forced to do that by the bosses. And even when he became on the board of directors, he was offered it. He never took it in the end. He refused it. He says, because I can't be that person. I can't be that person. So what they called it then was the rat race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting stuff to buy stuff that you needed to finance that you couldn't enjoy because you were too busy working to get the money to finance the things that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sold everything and moved to North Wales and became a security guard, a nighttime security guard in Wilbur Power Station, the hydroelectric plant in Snowdonia. And he said that was the best thing he could do because he could take his dog with him. It was group four, I think he went. So he took his dog with him and sat with his coffee and did his rounds. And so that helped him. So getting out of the rat race.
Yeah.
And I think if you're in a rat race, sometimes you don't even know you're in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to get out.
Yeah. You know? And it's definitely a sacrifice you're making. I mean, it's not not easy, maybe. And it takes a lot of courage, actually, to become aware of it in the first place. And then to take that action that goes maybe against your normal way of thinking, against your normal culture, against your normal behavior patterns, take that courage and step out of it, and make it a new new way for your own self.
That happened to me. I think I learned from my father. I was 17 years old, and I had the option at the time to either go to North Wales with them or move out. I was living at home at the time, or move out and get a flat. My brother moved out, and I went with him. I said, I'll come for a couple of months, see if I can make a new start there. So I think a lot of people have said it to me coming here as well. I mean, but we've done it all our lives, haven't we? You really just need to make the decision. And a lot of people say you're brave, and I've always said, no, I'm not. I've just made the decision. But now I realize that for some people, it is such a horrible feeling, the free fall. You know, after you've been sort of in this rat race where you're getting the money to pay for the things that you need to do, and if you don't do it, then you lose it. And, you know, and then to sort of stop that and say, I'm going to do something totally different, but there is going to be a period where I'm going to struggle more. That's scary for a lot of people. But if you don't do it, then you end up with mental health problems.
Exactly.
So it's easier to do it and end up with mental health problems or not, as to not do it and guarantee yourself to end up with mental health problems. You know what I mean? Exactly. So if there's anybody listening to this, it's any decision is the right decision. Indecision is the wrong decision.
Yes. Indecision. It's a very good word you're giving there. Indecision is creating a lot of doubt and worry. And it's not creating a Tim doubt or a Christine doubt. It's creating doubt, the bad one, the one that we don't want.
Only Germans understand that, you know. You know, only Germans understand that because they can't hear the difference between doubt and doubt.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. And a lot of people don't believe me that those two words sound exactly the same to Germans, right? Yeah. Doubt and doubt.
Yeah? Doubt and doubt.
Yeah. They sound exactly the same. Oh, and I've never heard it before, that joke. Never.
No, I bet. Especially living in Germany, of course.
So what you need to do then, I said at the start, you've stepped outside your comfort zone. So step back into your comfort zone and look after yourself.
Or change your comfort zone.
Now?
We are always changing comfort zones. So when we step out and overcome our terror barriers, our fear barriers, then obviously the new zone is becoming our new comfort zone until we make a new decision.
Step into what will we call it? A learning zone.
Yes.
step out of your comfort zone, step into a learning zone, and start looking at things you've maybe done, or looking at things where you could improve on things. Make a better idea for making decisions.
Yeah.
What's this one? Indecision is still a decision.
Yeah.
You are making a decision not to make a decision. Yes.
Exactly. Absolutely. But what's the outcome? That's the question. So, Ian, I mean, you have been making good decisions, good decision, I would say. But for your own self, you have been doing great over the last year, deciding to be on board here with us. And how do you feel about that?
It's just a decision, as I said to you once before, a decision I made last year to move out of my comfort zone into my learning zone. I'm learning something new.
Exactly.
I talked about being a practical minded person. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving that behind now. I'm moving into this more what will we call it?
Creative.
That's the word I was looking for. Gosh, you're good there. Just like it, eh? Creative zone. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for something worthwhile to occupy my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, very good.
And saying that, I've got enough to occupy at the moment, but yeah, there's always space for something more.
And you always keep your mind occupied with something, something positive that adds to your big amount of experience already. So
yeah.
You told me once that you are quite looking to combine the two, the creative part, the new learning zone, with already accumulated knowledge that you have.
Yeah, it's, she said the knowledge that my practical knowledge, there mm-hmm. is parts of my practical knowledge I can now use. I can combine with what I'm doing now in this more. I would take this as a more relaxed way forward that I'm doing now.
Relaxed, like our lovely couple, Christine and Tim.
Yeah, look at them, fight up. Join the happy mob.
I don't think Christina's got the gist of this conversation here at the moment.
Yes, I have, but I live in a totally different world. I never was in the bus thing.
So, explain, I mean, when you stopped work, that was in 92, right. So you stopped work in 92, but even before that, there was no sort of hustle culture in Germany, was it? Not in your
No,
branch.
I worked in my little music shop, and my 8 hours went home. And
then when you became a homemaker and Stephanie was born, did you feel hustled then?
No.
No? And what about when you went to America? You weren't allowed to work there.
That was the best time. The best years of my life.
But did you see other people being affected by the hustle culture there, or was everybody? No? Because it was all German women that couldn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
And then going back to Munich, was that hectic?
That was hectic, yeah.
But not. But he
not hassle, man. It's just
you could decide whether you mach mit or not, right? If you did it with you, huh?
But Christine, what I would like to ask you, I mean, even though you maybe not like personally actively being part of this this hustle and bustle, But nevertheless, you are amongst it and you are in it. So say, for instance, when you go out with Tim to the supermarket, do you feel a sort of hustling there?
I never go out these days. Okay. Shops on his own then.
About shopping.
Less hustle for him. I don't want to watch him drink himself to death. So I stay home.
Okay. And when Tim comes home from his hustle and bustle.
He gets it.
Okay.
Then there's a hustle and bustle in this house, I tell you.
Yeah, I bet.
especially when five minutes. If the German news is finished and she looks around and goes, "Where's my tea?"
There you go.
No, but going back to, I think you may have experienced hustle and bustle in Munich when we went back to Germany, because we didn't live in Munich. I rented a house in Munich whilst we were in America for when we came back. And Chris wasn't involved in the decision, and I made a totally wrong decision because I was hustled and bustled. I was flown over on a Friday night to meet a guy on a Saturday morning to show me 6 apartments and a house. And I took the house, which was a total waste of time. But
and way too expensive.
And way too expensive and everything.
Way too big.
Yeah. But so I was hustled into making a decision without Chris. Then when we moved over, there was lots. But I mean, you could decide whether you wanted to be in that, right? There was no sort of forcing you to be hustle and bustle, right? I think that's the difference. Is when you're talking about culture, Ian, I think it is a very, very important part of the political system you're living in or living under. As to how you cope with things like hustle and bustle. I think that the feeling in Britain at the moment is that you can't change it, is that it's the way it is and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. It is the way it is at the moment, and it'll take something...
I'll tell you exactly what it'll take, but I don't want to get political on Giuliani's channel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I find it more now since the pandemic and since people have returned to their work. It's more to the fore now. You can see it. It's obvious now. It's obvious in everyday life. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You, I think y'all need to come over to here and get the manana culture, man.
Yeah, well, there we are. Now come on. They tell me it's quite busy out there. There's quite a lot of hustle going about on the streets and that. It's at night. It's very, very busy, I was getting told.
It is busy and hustly. You know, I mean, I think the manana culture is for locals. Yeah. But the tourist industry is very hustly. But I think that the people working in the tourist industry are, okay, if you're working in the front of customers, mm-hmm. the people that you'd actually see, then I think that those people choose that lifestyle, you know, because they're into it. There might be others that are working in the background in the kitchens and cleaning and sort of the things that you don't actually see. But again, they can go home to their families and they don't have to take cleaning home. So the office worker, I mean, Britain has got a lot of people who work in information, you know, and reporting and accounting and sales reporting. You know? And those are the people, I think, that are affected the most. The computer... people that are in higher technologies. So I think it's a higher technology thing. The guy who digs the road when he goes home, throws his shovel in the back and has a bath, he doesn't think about digging the road tomorrow, you know? So I think it's a certain amount of eggs in the basket in a culture that makes their, I don't want to say makes their job artificially important to them, but know, if all the bankers and the office workers stopped tomorrow, then you probably wouldn't notice much of a change in certain things, you know. Not demeaning the work of the office worker, but it's not an immediate change, you know. Like if somebody sort of like turned off the water or turned off the electricity, that's immediate. But as
I know what you're saying. It's
information exchange and the information technology that we've got at the moment, it puts artificial pressure on you.
Yeah, it's the environment now that you live in. If as you said, the guy digging the roads, it's a different outlook that he has,
right.
a different way of life that he has. Whereas the people in the big businesses, it's sitting on computers, sitting computer facing every day. These are the people that I would say are involved in this hustle
culture. Then I have a solution, and Christina taught me this. Christina taught me this. If as soon as you stop taking yourself seriously, and as soon as you realize that you are expendable, your life changes immediately. You're expendable. That means that if you stop doing your job, 10 people will take up the slack.
Oh, so
right?
Disposable.
No, expendable is the word. That means that,
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, exactly. If that's why it's important to make your own well-being also important. Because, obviously, if tomorrow... the company says goodbye, you would sacrifice a lot of your mental health and your own personal well-being if you just...
But I'm not saying change anything. I'm just saying change your mind. That means doing what you're doing. Doing what you're doing. But if you make a... let's say you're making a decision based on the fact that I've got to get this done or... all hell's going to break loose.
Exactly.
That's stress, right? Mm-hmm. And if you say, if I don't get this done, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then it's exactly the same. Whether the weekly report comes out on a Friday at 8 o'clock or whether it comes out on a Saturday morning may not be the big thing that you think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're doing something with information – and working in an office, then a lot of the pressure is not done by the boss; it's done by you. And
self-inflicted.
So a lot of it is. I'm not saying that there are bad bosses out there and they do pressurize you to do stuff, but then all I need to say is get out and get another job. You know, I mean, if you've got a bad boss, you've got to leave because you're not going to get rid of them. They've risen to the top for a reason. So the company's all bad, you know. But if a lot of it is the pressure you're putting on yourself, or I mean, I'm a perfectionist, which means that I never start or finish anything, you know, because only God is perfect. I used to think perfectionists were people that did perfect things, but perfectionists are so they can't start because they realize it's not going to be good enough. You know, I'm serious. I've learned a lot. I have learned a lot, right? You know, it's like, shall I like blitz the kitchen and empty all the cupboards and polish everything, you know? And then I say, oh, I'm not going to finish that tonight. So I don't do anything. You know me, Lenny. I have a problem. I have a problem cleaning cutlery. I'm as crazy as the next person. But it's a lot of I bought a dishwasher and I don't use it.
Oh, what would we do without your sense of humor, Tim? Really? Isn't that also
you know, that saved me. That has actually saved me a lot.
Yeah.
My sense of humor has saved me a lot. Yeah.
I bet. And it really helps break through the ego. Yeah. So what do we have here? Diane also has a lot of great points made tonight. Worked in France and saw a different environment 20 years ago. Working from home during the pandemic has blurred the lines for people, and that has carried on. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing my pajamas below the.
Yes. I mean, over the last 3 years, there have been a lot of changes, and people had to adapt, obviously, making maybe their home a work environment, which is also challenging in a lot of ways, because obviously you are taking home something that you normally left outside your workplace. You could say goodbye, see you tomorrow, but at home you have your workplace and you have your home and your private personal life, so having that mixed together is also challenging.
I don't have a private life anymore because it's all online.
You decided that, huh?
I did. It was a decision I made. Yeah.
It's
Michael
funny.
McGuinness was actually commented earlier on saying that indecision is also a decision, right?
Yes, exactly.
And well, I just like to say that is a new definition of indecision. And it's a new definition of people like yourself, Giuliani, and the mind coach, that there's a lot of you can sort of have your own truths. But I'd like to say here and now that indecision is the opposite of the word decision.
Yes.
But it's still indecision is not a decision.
But still you are deciding not to decide.
No, you're not. And that's what mind coaches and holistic mentors don't understand.
Okay.
Right?
That's fine.
No, it's true. It's true. Indecision is nothing to do with you. Indecision is a situation you find yourself in when you cannot decide. Nobody decides not to decide. You can't do that. And so indecision is like a panic attack. You can't decide to have a panic attack or decide not to have it, right? Indecision is where you have multiple decisions to choose from and you cannot choose. It is not a decision not to choose.
Uh-huh.
It is a very, very real thing. And if you think that indecision is also deciding, then it's not indecision, it's just laziness. But indecision is a real thing, and it is the opposite of being able to decide. So indecision is the inability to decide, not a decision.
Okay.
The word of Tim has spoken.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But it's only for important stuff.
No.
Because indecision is when I don't know whether to put jam or Nutella on my bread in the morning.
That's true, but that's not a decision. You're not deciding to not decide. Are you? Or do you decide to
no.
To, oh, Tim, what do you want, Chris? Do you want jam or Nutella? I don't know. Well, make a decision. I don't know. I can't decide. Well, I'm here in the kitchen. Make a decision. I've decided not to decide. McKay!
Yeah.
Hey. That was to be a topic for future weeks. Decision.
Yes, absolutely.
You've summed it all up in 10 minutes.
Well, I'm not sure when to do it.
For you.
Should we do it next week or the week after? Or maybe the week after that. I don't know.
See.
I'm
we
deciding not to decide. There you go.
I'll decide for you.
Load of rubbish. Indecision is the inability to decide.
Anne Marie Elton says, I work from home mornings and feel more productive without distractions in the office and don't miss the commute in heavy traffic. However, I do miss the interaction with work colleagues. Yes.
We will Anne Marie Elton, I know exactly what you do in the mornings in your office when you're working.
I think that's a statement that covers for many people. It's on part time, whether they're working at home or whether they're working in the office environment. Is the together when they're in the office, it's the togetherness, and the togetherness chat that they have in the office environment, whereas
everybody hated me in our office, so I was
the banter.
Never invited to the party.
The banter. Well,
yeah. Mr. Know-it-all, they call me.
So, Mr. Julianne, what do you find in your line of business is hustle?
Well, like as you guys probably noticed a couple of weeks ago, I decided to stop the hustle. So I had to cancel. I made the decision to cancel two balcony banters because or else I would have bought into hustling and bustling. And no, I feel that that it's important to know yourself and to also know exactly what you need to feel good, or if you cannot feel super duper good, then at least know what would make you feel better. What do you need to give to yourself in that very moment? And then yes, obviously, it comes together with making sacrifices. So I had to sacrifice a balcony banter, which I was not so super duper happy about, but I knew exactly that there have to be certain priorities. And yes, and then it's easier to make certain decisions. Yeah.
When you did that, I made the decision to go down the pub and do balcony banter from the Monte Cristo. So, Christina, me coming home late on that balcony banter night is Juliani's fault.
Yep.
Sarah Child sent you some gifts, by the way. I have them here.
Oh, thank you. I hope to see you still, Sarah. I don't know how long.
No, she's leaving tomorrow morning. She's leaving already? Tomorrow lunchtime. Yeah. She was here a week already. Are you in the south now? Or are you still in the north?
I'm in the north. Okay. In the north. North and south.
North and south. That was a decision you made as well.
Yes, exactly. So,
what's happened to the people that you were serving here in the flesh? Have they gone to online customers?
No, I'm still serving my clients in the south, definitely. So I am still traveling to the south.
So you're commuting?
Yeah. Not every day, of course. But
when you have a meeting here, you're here, right?
Yes.
Later on, let me know when you're here and we can meet up and I'll do the thing.
Exactly.
Next Monday, by the way, just to give you an idea, next Monday, meetup Monday, is probably going to be a load of people. So if you can make Monday night in the south, Juliani.
I will let you know.
Okay, that means she's not coming.
Oh, how can you say
pressurized.
You're getting pressurized. No.
Well, I let you guys all know, the ones that are commenting here in the chat, I will let you know in a message when I'll be down south.
Okay. There's an interesting comment here. Angry Velo says, I work from home and attempted to get a digital nomad visa to work in Tenerife, but the income from my apartment was more than 20% of my income allowed for the visa. So the digital nomad visa only allows you to take that visa here if you're less or 20% or less of your income is from a non-Spanish thing. So you either need to get a raise from Scotland or just drop the price of your apartment, mate. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's hundreds of people on here that would love an apartment in Park Santiago, whatever it is, for like $20 a night. There you go. Yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah. Asked him.
And you get more mates.
Yep. Well, guys, we are already over the hour now. I'm going to make the round. And your final thoughts for a wonderful week, Tim?
I've got another final thought. Angry Velo. What's his real name? Graham.
Graham.
If you come over here and live in the apartment, you're not earning anything. So your income from the apartment, you wouldn't have because you're paying it yourself. Mm. There you go.
Christine.
Yes.
Your final thoughts for the week and for this topic.
Oh, let me think again.
You come back.
Well, I'll give you my real final thought then while she's thinking. I think when I first saw the topic, the hustle culture, I remember the hustling, the side hustle. So when you got a job and you do a second job, that's your side hustle, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was pool hall hustlers, which were people that would come in and pretend to be no good and then be good, you know? Uh-huh. And I think the word hustle, and there's, of course, the dance, the hustle, which we've got to do at the end. and also, this what I really realize now is that it is people in power hustling people with no power. And that is disgusting. That's my final word. It shouldn't happen. Revolution, brothers.
Ian.
Yes.
Your final thoughts.
Yes. I'm glad I picked that up in some of the past chats last year. It just goes to prove that I do read all the chats and they go on my to-do list.
Yes.
I'll finish up with a little bit less. Less is more. Less stress, more peace, less technology, more nature, less worry, more joy, less complaint, more gratitude, less judgment, more love. Thank you.
Oh, love that. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Christine.
Yeah. Less work, more sleep.
We'll go for that.
Oh, no, I wanted to say, I'm just scared that I never resume this
rat race.
Hustle.
Hustle culture. Hustle with a U, not hassle with an A. Hustle culture's next week. Alan Fraser's works for own test is successful.
I want to thank you, everyone here in the chat, also for your wonderful comments. If you want to comment after the show, please feel free to do that. We will definitely, Ian and I, definitely read it all and also go through the chat again. And yes, look at this wonderful, wonderful view. Yes, those lovely sunsets from the south, they are beautiful. Yes, and well, my final thought
We're going to go
just
for the
be...
wonderful view for the last minute here.
Oops. Yes, one.
While you are preparing. Okay. Yeah, Anne-Marie says, good thought, Ian.
Oh, thank you,
Bye
Andy.
For now. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Very good. Absolutely. To be more kind, or be more kind to yourself, and then you can do more and have more.
And relax
This
another
is the
great BB. Muchas gracias, amigos. Muchas gracias, amiga. Y nos vemos pronto. And are we going to do the hustle dance and the bustle dance?
Hustle bustle dance.
That's what he's cleared
hustle,
the balcony for.
Well, let me put it on and. Here we go.